Today we're going to be talking about humility as a warfare tool. And you may be going, huh? Humility, what does that have anything to do with spiritual warfare? Well, it does. and so we're going to talk about that. Jesus gives us many great examples of his life in walking in humility and ways that we can learn from his life and how he operated. Amen? So let's pray as we get into the scripture today. Father, thank you for your presence here in this place. God, we honor you, Jesus, as Lord above all. Lord, we pray for the next few moments as the word goes out. God, that you would illuminate truth in our hearts. God, that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what you're speaking to us. No matter how long we've known you or how much of the Bible we know, God, I pray today that we would come ready to receive what you have for us today. Challenge us, open our hearts, open our minds. Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And even when you deal with us sometimes, you deal with us in love. And so, God, thank you for that. God, we want transformation. We don't want to just hear the words of Scripture and do nothing with it. So challenge us today, God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence here in this place. God, thank you for your written word that is transformative. Thank you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, how about this? Anybody here today tired? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Okay. Yes. Okay, good. I'm in good company because I, your pastor, am tired. I'm worn out. We were gone this week seeing our grandbabies in Texas, so that, of course, was fantastic, right? So that's a good tired. But just in general, again, we covered your prayers as leadership because, as you have to imagine and understand, leadership is challenging, right? It's hard to lead in a world that is divided, in a world that, you know, is constantly at each other. As a pastor and a shepherd, my goal is to constantly remind us that this is our focus, right? That Jesus is the focus, that his word is the only thing where we get our instructions from, right? And so that's challenging sometimes, and it's wearisome. And so thank you for your prayers. Pray for our team. Pray for me. Because it gets, just like you deal with things in your own lives, the enemy is coming at you or choices or just things, right? It's hard for you. It's hard for us as well. And so I'm just saying that today for you to realize that I'm a person, okay? So, and I'm tired, and that's okay because I prayed and asked the Lord. It's in our weakness, he's strong, amen? So that's where we rely upon him today. Oh, so I'm going to breathe deep. So as we get started, we're talking about humility in the battle of temptation. Ugh, don't we all get tempted in so many ways and so many areas? For you, you might not get tempted in the big things. Maybe you've walked with Jesus enough, and for you, the big things, you know, what people would say, sex, drugs, alcohol, you know, whatever the big things are, maybe that's not a big deal. Maybe for you, though, it's small things. It's attitude, it's gossip, it's jealousy, you know, things that maybe are a little bit smaller. But we're all tempted in different areas. And our option is to either live by the flesh or live by the Spirit. And depending on how much time we're spending in the presence of Jesus will depend on which one we choose, right? And we're all human and we all make mistakes. And aren't you glad for the grace of God? I don't know about this, but this is echoing. Are you guys hearing that? Great. But we all need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God. So I'm thankful for that. So have you heard the words before? Have you ever uttered the words, "It's not my fault"? Anybody? So maybe it wasn't your fault, or maybe it was your fault, right? But from the time of Adam and Eve, humanity has had a way of trying to shift blame. Like, you know, we're really good at doing this, pointing at everyone else, rather than looking in the mirror, right? When things go wrong, we rather point the finger rather than do the hard work of examining our own selves and our own heart. But friends, the truth is we are in a war, and it's a spiritual war. And let me remind you, let me remind myself, again, that war is not with flesh and blood, okay? It's with principalities, right? That's the enemy of this world. It's the dark presences, right? That's where we wage war, not with our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our coworkers and all those that are around us that may think or believe differently. That is not where the war's at. Got it? Just as a reminder for us. The battleground can be temptation for us. Temptation to respond in a negative way, to not reflect Christ, to choose self over Christ, that's very difficult. But one of the most powerful weapons that we have is humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, all right? This is tough, right? And this is tough. This is preaching to me, all right? Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but rather thinking about yourself less. Anybody? James 4:7, and it says this, and many of you know this scripture. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's our job. Our job is to humble ourselves before God. And then resist the devil, and he says, and he will flee from you. Part of the spiritual warfare of that is submitting to God and then resisting the devil, and then he will flee. Beautiful. That's beautiful. So before resistance comes submission. Before victory comes surrender. Before spiritual power comes humility before God. And I will tell you, I'll be the first to admit, that's not easy. It's not easy to be humble. It's not easy to walk in Christ's humility, because in ourselves, we can try all we want, and it's still human humility. We need Christ's humility. Amen? So we're going to take a look at scripture today. Familiar passage. Many of you have studied it. But we're going to look at the temptation of Jesus. All right? So turn with me to Luke chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 13 and talk a little bit about some of the tools that we can pick out from here that Christ used when he was tempted. All right? And I'm going to be reading from the NLT version. It says this, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. All right? So he had just gotten baptized and the Holy Spirit had descended upon him. All right? In a beautiful moment. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Now, I personally have never done a 40-day fast. I've known pastors and others who have done that. That is not something that I have done, but that is incredible to think how God sustained him for 40 days and nights as he fasted, right? That's a beautiful thing. Verse 3, then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. All right. Obviously, the enemy knew where his vulnerability was, the practical need of literal hunger, right? So the enemy comes right at the place of that practical need, right? And let me remind you of this. You know this. The devil has no new ideas. He has no new tactics, right? He has done the same thing from the beginning of time until the end of time. It's the same. And so this is beautiful, because Jesus is laying out for us how to deal with temptation, how to deal when the enemy comes in your life, right? And so I love this. And it's almost so basic. Don't miss it, because it's so basic, okay? Got it? All right, so the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. Verse 5, then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Wow. Verse 8, Jesus replied, the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. All right, and we're gonna dive into that. But as you notice at the different moments, Jesus utilized scripture at every temptation. Every time the devil came at him, he literally used what the scripture had said before. The power of the word of God in our lives is incredible. Jesus, the Son of God, the miracle worker, he chose humility. He submitted to the Father. He fasted for this period of time because he was obeying the Father. He prayed and he waited, all right? And when Satan came, Jesus didn't perform a miracle. He could have. He didn't argue with his own authority. And he didn't show off. Do you realize that this combination, we have Satan and we have Jesus the Christ, the one who was there in the beginning when everything was created, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine in his flesh, he was like, first of all, why are you, I was there before you. Like, who are you to tell to me like this, right? But he didn't come in that position. He came in a position of humility, obviously with authority, using scripture. But he didn't trample on the enemy right then when he could have. Do we get that? He came with humility. He answered with scripture and with humble obedience to his Father. Humility is the key. Jesus shows us that at every step of the way. I'm reminded of when Jesus stood before those that were going to crucify him, those that were going to put him on the cross. He was asked multiple questions. He didn't demand, he didn't yell and scream. He stood there while they hurled accusations on him. Because he knew who he was. He knew what he had come to do. And he knew humility would win. And I don't know about you, but that's convicting. Because I often, in my own self, right, and you probably are similar, you have opinions, you have thoughts, you have things that you feel strongly about. And you're like, but no, this is the right way. This needs to happen. Or, you know, we have these things that rise up again inside of us. And Jesus shows us that there's another way. And it's the way of humility. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of submission. It's the way that goes against literally everything in our flesh, right? Our flesh wants to rise up and wants to fight those things. And Jesus says, no, we need to lay that down. Now, in dealing with temptation and in dealing with the enemy, Jesus used the authority of scripture. He didn't let him run over him, right? But he did it with compassion, really, and care and humility, which blows my mind. So there's a couple things I want us to point out. Point number one, humility chooses God's will over fleshly desires. That's not easy. Humility chooses God's will over fleshly desires. Jesus was hungry. He was literally flesh at that time, and he had been fasting for 40 days. He was hungry. He was tired. He was weak in the body, literal physical body. Satan tempted him to satisfy a real need outside of God's time. And God had a plan and purpose for him for that time of fasting. Jesus shows us that first principle of humility is, I would rather go hungry than be disobedient. I would rather suffer now than sin against my Father. Do you see how those things go against everything in our humanness, right? We want it now. We want our will, not his will. We want it my way, not his way. And there's a whole lot of dying to ourself that comes in play. Humility says, not my will, but yours be done. And I will tell you guys, that is not easy. It's not easy to get up on the cross or to get up on the altar and to lay down and to surrender and to submit and to say, Jesus, I signed on the dotted line. You're my Savior. I'm in need of you. It's not my dreams. It's not my purpose. It's you. It's yours, right? That's what it requires. That's what it calls for. That's what humility demands. Deuteronomy 8:3 says this. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Again, Jesus was referencing scripture in the Old Testament when the enemy came. He said, this is what scripture says. Man will not live by just bread alone. The power of scripture in our lives. Have you ever been in a place where your desires screamed louder than your convictions? You don't have to raise your hand on that one. Just in your own heart, right? I think we've all been there, right? When the easiest thing to do in that moment is just to give in, right? We've all been there. We have all been there. But in this season and this time of where spiritual warfare, it's always been going on since the dawn of time, right? Because there's been a war, Satan and God. I mean, it's been going on from the beginning, and it will continue until Jesus comes again and restores everything. I mean, we're in it, and so we have to be prepared. We have to be armed up. We have to be able to utilize the tools that God has given us to fight spiritual warfare. Again, not fighting each other, but fighting the warfare, the war that's going on in the spirit realm, all right? Humility bows to God even when the flesh is screaming. And we need his help for that because we cannot do that on our own. So humility chooses God over our desires. Number two point that we can look at from this, humility worships God alone. There's only one God, and we are not it, right? Here in verses 5-8, Satan offers Jesus the world, which again cracks me up. I mean, think about this. Satan, who got kicked out of heaven because of pride and arrogance, the opposite of humility, because he thought he could become God, all right? And of course, he's given some dominion over the earth, but he's sitting here saying to the Christ, Jesus, who was there in the beginning, created it all, here, I can give this to you. Like, wow. Here, Satan offers Jesus the world, but what price, right? Worshiping the created instead of the creator. Compromise will never get you where you need to go. Humility remembers that we are servants, not sovereigns. We're here to be humble servants, all right? We serve God, not our careers, not our image, not our egos, and definitely not the devil, okay? We're here as servants. That should be the place that our heart takes, is that place of servanthood, which is humility, again, which is tough, right? And why we need his presence and his grace to do that. Deuteronomy 6:13 says this, you must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must only use his name. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. Fear is like reverence, understanding who he is as God the Father, creator of the universe, right? Do we get that? He is above it all. He's known the beginning from the end. He's already won the victory. Like, he's got it figured out. We are the creation. We're like the grains of the sand. We're so small, but yet he cares about us. He cares about our needs. He cares about what's going on in our life. We must fear him, reverence him, and serve him. Humility isn't weakness. It's strength under control. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Having control, self-control. We need the Holy Spirit's help. It says, I don't need the world's glory when I already have the Father's approval. Amen? So humility worships God alone. And the third point to just pull from this Luke reference is humility trusts God's timing. Notice that when Satan quotes scripture, he twists it out of context, right? This is sneaky, and that's who he is. Prove who you are. You know, he wants him to show off, to use his power. He's trying to entice him, right, to claim the rights and authority that he already has. Jesus already knows who he is. He already knows the power and authority he walks with. So he doesn't have to prove that to the devil. He doesn't have to prove that to anybody. And when you know that, when you know whose you are and where you're at, you don't have to prove those things. That's hard, though. Anybody in the room? Is that hard? right? When you think you're right about something or this is this, and you're like, no, but you have to understand. I got to get them to understand this. Truth stands the test of time. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he does a good job of defending himself, so we can trust that he's got it figured out. Amen? Humility doesn't need to prove anything. Jesus didn't need to throw himself off the temple to validate his identity. He didn't need to do that. He trusted the Father's plan, the Father's protection, and ultimately the Father's timing. Deuteronomy 6:16 says, you must not test the Lord your God. Again, talking to the enemy. You must not test the... He is putting him in his place, but yet doing it with such submission and humility to God the Father. Humility trusts that God knows what he's doing, even when life doesn't make sense. Are you at a place right now where maybe some of the things in your life, it just don't make sense? Well, our job is to trust the Lord. Our job is to wait on him, to trust him for the timing of what he's working out on our behalf. Our job is to come before him in submission and humility and say, Lord, I trust you with this. I trust that you're going to take care of whatever that is. In spiritual warfare, we often picture it like a loud, intense battle. That's usually what we see, right? But sometimes the strongest moment is when you get on your knees in quiet humility and pray. Have you ever thought about that? That's some of the best spiritual warfare we could ever do, is on our face or on our knees, crying out to God, praying for situations, praying for people. That's the greatest form of spiritual warfare. You don't have to fight anyone. You just get on your face, get on your knees, because that's where the battle's at anyways, right? In the spirit realm. Praying prayers like, God, I can't fight this on my own. I surrender. Help. Some of you in here are like, I don't know how to pray. You don't have to have a lot of words. Help is a good prayer. God, help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. Lead me, guide me, keep me. Those are prayers of humility. Those are prayers of saying, I don't have it figured out, and you do. Again, that's not weakness. That's power. That's strength under control. That's realizing that we know our position, which is servant, right? He's sovereign. We're not. Humility unlocks divine strength and can be used as a spiritual weapon. This has been fascinating for me as I've prepared this and prayed, and as I've even, you know, walked it through in my own life, realizing I'm in process still. I'm navigating these things still. And we all have a long way to grow. Can I get an amen there? You guys doing okay? You're a little quiet today, so I'm concerned. So here are some ways that we can win with this, all right? Humility destroys pride. It just does. It squashes it. Pride is the devil's primary weapon because it's the thing that caused all of his failure and why he's in the place he is, right? It grants access to God's power and grace. Humility puts you in alignment with God's will and enables him to fight on your behalf. Thank you, Jesus, right? Familiar scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Thank you, Jesus. His grace is sufficient for you today. When you're humble, you're not relying on your own strength, but in God's. That's where the true power lies in spiritual warfare, is realizing it's not us fighting, it's him, right? And he's already won. How does humility help us win? It breaks strongholds of self-reliance and rebellion. Humility is how we surrender control and break the spiritual strongholds of independence and pride in our lives. Now, I'm not just talking to all you. This is for me too. And I think a lot of us need to listen today. We need to ask the Lord, how does this work in our lives, right? Strongholds of self-reliance and rebellion. Again, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish the strongholds in our lives, right? Many strongholds in our lives that have taken root are rooted in pride, a refusal to submit, a refusal to forgive, a refusal to trust and obey, When we come with humility, it begins to break those things down. Humility disarms the enemy, which I love, right? I love to think about, like, being able to disarm the enemy from, like, anything he can do in my life. I feel like that's, okay, Lord, how can I do that? How can I heal? How can I forgive? How can I get rid of things that cause the enemy to be able to get in my life, right? I try to close all the doors, seal them up if possible, right? Humility disarms the enemy. Why? Because it's Christ-like, and he hates it. He hates anything that smells like Christ. So when we appear like Christ, when we act like Christ, when we have that spirit, that same spirit, it angers him and it disarms him. It's a weapon. Jesus conquered death and sin, not by worldly power, but by humble obedience to the Father's will, not his will that cost him. When believers choose humility, they walk in the victory that Christ set. The enemy is disarmed because he cannot corrupt what is already surrendered. Isn't that beautiful? Humility protects against offense, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Ugh. It helps you forgive quickly, admit when you're wrong, and avoid taking offense. All those are common entry points for the enemy to get into your life. And again, that's we're human, so we deal with that all the time. But humility protects against those things. Realizing, you know what, you're not always going to see it all the same way, but we can come in forgiveness and come in humility and admit when we're wrong. And even sometimes admit, you know what, we don't see it eye to eye, but I love you more than the situation, so we can agree to disagree and move on. I mean, that's what humility does, right? It protects against offense, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Wow. That's convicting right there. A foothold is a place where the enemy can get in, right? When the door is open and it cracks a little bit and you stick a foot in there, it keeps the door open a little bit, all right? You don't want to give the devil a foothold in your life. You want to close all those options, all those opportunities. Anger is one of those. I used to struggle with anger a ton, and I had bitterness and unforgiveness in my life, and I've had it at different periods of my life as well, and I had to walk a path of forgiveness. I had to walk a path of laying those things down and asking the Lord to forgive me then, even though I was mad and angry and upset about the other people, what they'd done, but then I realized I'm sinning by not forgiving, by being bitter, like, ugh, and so then I had to own it, right, and ask the Lord to forgive me for holding on to those things. The Lord can forgive you as well. Humility invites God's presence and victory. And we can all say amen to that, right? Where there is humility, God's presence and his power dwells, which directly repels demonic activity. Right? The name of Jesus, the enemy must flee, right? The presence of Christ, devils have to run. When we submit to God, resist the devil, he has to flee, right? Spiritual warfare right at our hands, right at our tools. So real quick, how do we walk in humility then and win the battle? Submit first, then resist. Submit first, then resist. James 4:7 says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Before you resist, though, bow. Bow before the King of Kings. Submit to Christ and then resist. And you'll win the battle. Number two, how do we walk in humility and win the battle of temptation? Stay in the Word of God. Eat it, drink it, submerse in it. Listen to it on your phone. Read it. Read the actual Bible, right? Stay in the Word. Know the Word of God. Jesus responded to each temptation to the devil, quoting Scripture. Using Scripture, the power that's in the Word of God. God's Word isn't just for knowledge. It's not just so we can know the history and all the things about the Bible. It is your sword. It's a tool of the armor of God. Use it well, but you've got to know it in order to use it. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So stay in the word. Number three, pray continually. Luke 22:40 says, pray that you will not give in to temptation. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for others, right? Pray that you will not give in to temptation. Prayer is your communication line to the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, right? So ask him for help. Pray continually. Keep your heart open and ask for help in that. And number four, lastly, put on the full armor of God. We've been talking about that the last few weeks, right? Arming up, making sure that we are walking through the armor of God and putting those things on. When we get out of bed in the morning, realizing that we're going out into a battle, right? You've been sleeping, the enemy, and you get your feet off the bed, and all of a sudden he's like, okay, they're up, all right? You better be armed up. You better be ready to take on whatever that day is gonna come. And listen, if you love Jesus and you're stepping out in faith and you're doing things, he's gonna come after you. You have to be prepared for that, right? You have a target on you. If you have Jesus follower, you have a target. So be prepared for that. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to walk around and be in this terrorized fear, because God's given us tools, tools for warfare, tools to fight with, so that we can stand up against the schemes of the enemy and not get ran over and not get beat up all over the place. We can stand and say, you know what? Like Jesus showed us using scripture. No, man shall not live by bread alone. You don't need to, you know, come at me with that. Use scripture to defeat the enemy in your life. When Jesus stood against Satan, he didn't argue with pride. He didn't show off with miracles, which he could have. He didn't say, I've got this. He humbled himself under the authority of the word and submitted to the Father's will. And that's how he won, all right? That's how we're going to win. We're going to win by living a life of humility. Philippians 2:8-9 says this. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above every name. Humility will always come before honor. Don't let the enemy trick you into thinking that you're weak, all right? Don't fight temptation in your own strength, because you're going to lose every time. Let humility be your weapon, all right? Let that Christ-likeness of his love and his compassion and his humility, let those be the tools that you fight with. Remember this, Satan has already been defeated, right? You're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from a place of victory. So we humble ourselves, we submit to God, we resist the devil, and then we watch him. We watch him flee in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? So I hope that's encouraging to you as much as it is challenging as well, because it's some of us, I'm sure all of us, can take a look in the mirror and say, okay, Lord, I need some help with humility. I need some help with submitting to you. I need some help with that grace and compassion that Jesus so just freely comes out of his life. And many of us, we deal with so much pride and arrogance. And God wants to help us win that battle, the temptations to operate in our flesh. Amen. So stand to your feet with me this morning as we just take a moment to respond to the Lord today. Just close your eyes this morning. Aren't you glad that God hasn't left us down here alone? Emmanuel, God with us, right? And then when he went back up to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter and our guide. And he's given us the written scripture, which gives us everything we need to know how to live and love and forgive. And all of us are on a journey of knowing Christ more. None of us are going to get it figured out till we get to heaven. And so I think today, as we close our eyes and we just have this moment, I think all of us could say we need some work in this area. Maybe you've been struggling with temptation in your life. Maybe it's pride and arrogance. Maybe you've been trying to fight battles in your own strength. And today, in this moment, just between you and the Lord, just take a moment and just humble yourself before God. Come before him in this moment and just surrender, and whatever that looks like. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. to your heart. Maybe there's just something that needs to get uncovered. Maybe there's an area that you need to ask him to forgive you, to wash you clean of. Maybe you just need strength to be able to walk in Christ-like humility. So in this moment, as we respond to the word, just take a few moments between you and Jesus and just let him speak to you in this moment. Where we need to walk in humility, where we need to lay down our lives. God, we recognize our desperate need for you, that we can do nothing apart from you. Lord, thank you that you've given us to your scripture, the greatest tool to be able to fight against temptation and to be able to resist the enemy. God, thank you that you've given us the armor of God that we can put on daily to be able to stand firm against the devil's schemes. Lord, I pray in this moment, God, that you would make all of us alert, that we are fighting battles, but it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual enemies, the principalities, the darkness in this world. So, Father, I pray for all of us here today that you'll help us to keep our focus on the kingdom mission that you've given us here, love others, to show them to Jesus. God, help us to walk in your humility. Help us to learn how to submit to you and resist the devil in our lives and in our families. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you that you give us grace. We thank you, God, that you walk with us in your mercy, that you understand that we're your children and we're still learning. And so, God, thank you for that. God, I pray as a church and as a congregation, God, that we would give each other that grace, that we would extend that kind of love to each other as each one of us are on that journey of knowing Christ, and it looks different for each of us. God, help us to walk with one another in love and humility. Help us to walk in forgiveness and grace. Help us to put you above all things and let the other things of this world grow dim. God, I pray as we leave from this place today that, God, we would leave in your power, we would leave in your strength, we would go into our mission field, whatever that looks like on our block or in our workplace or in our family, and God, that you would anoint us to be your hands extended. God, that we would bring your love and your hope to the world that so desperately needs it. Change us, transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, we thank you that you've given us all that we need to wage this war that you've already won. So God, remind us that we worship from a place of that's already been won, a place of victory. We love you, Jesus, so much in your precious name.